Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it is going to be the luck of the draw coming this Sunday, man. How's everything going? Is everything ready? I know I passed Silverton the other day and saw the billboard is up, so that's good news.
Yeah, I guess it's been up for a little while because I was talking with Zoe Stark recently, and she saw it herself, and that kind of verified that, okay, at least we know it's been up for at least a week. So, you know, she saw her driving by, and I'm like, hey, come on by, because she wasn't sure if it happened yet or whatever, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we're hoping, you know, I talked with Brian Cage. I talked with a bunch of people that live in town and, you know, who we're friendly with. So, you know, especially with Hammerstone and Cross there and Bay there, you know, a lot of people want to catch up. So, hey, you might get some celebrity wrestling, you know, sightings this weekend, too, to go along with a fantastic show.
Yeah, absolutely. So any word on, you know, the, is Danny actually going to show up to face Cross?
Well, yeah, he's got his flight. He's ready to roll.
Okay.
You know, one thing about, Danny Limelight is, you know, a lot of people, you know, talk a good game, you know, they say the keyboard warriors, but you know what? Danny Limelight's going to show up and, you know, he's going to put out, you know, he wants to prove to the world that, you know, he is the best unsigned talent in the business and, you know, taking Cross to the limits is a good way to prove it. Because again, you know, we've seen good Danny Limelight matches, but I think the best one he ever had was when the fellow Boricua Mike Santana came in town for the House of Glory show. And I tell everybody, I'm like, you watch that match. And if I tell you again, one of these guys is signed to a major company and the other isn't, you can't really pick which one it was because they both were that good. So, you know, for a match that won't be the main event, man, the you know, you got a Rumble, you got this match, and then you got the main event. So you got three main events in six matches, and that's not taking away from the other three matches.
Right. Including the Women's Championship match where Brittany Brooks defends against Maserati, and Brittany had an opportunity this past week to wrestle for the WWE ID Women's Championship. Fortunately, she came up short, but was a good overall experience. And here she is basically, you know, coming straight into defend her title here.
Yeah. And as we know, you know, Maserati never lost her championship. She got injured. And, you know, I always talk about how busy I am. And it's like, you know, Brittany was wrestling last weekend. Then she wrestled on the Monday. And now she's back. And, you know, she's being busy. And then I just 2 minutes ago, all of a sudden I popped on Twitter and I saw Kevin's post. And it's like, you know, he was filming a movie this week. He's flying from Chicago to Charleston for MLW tonight. Right. Then he's got a convention in Chicago back there again. And then he's going to GCW Saturday night, coming back to us in Vegas Sunday. And then he's doing a seminar Monday afternoon into the, you know, the Q&A with the fans and the live one night on Monday night. So, you know, this schedule for him is way busier than when he was with WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And he's actually getting in the ring, too.
Yeah, that too.
How, you know, when you look at Maserati, how important is this to get this opportunity to potentially get the title back, because, you know, it's been a year essentially since she had that, you know, accident and had to give up the title.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how time flies, truly. And, you know, you got to take advantage of those windows of time that you have, because as we've seen, you know, things happen in the blink of an eye. And, you know, take advantage of these situations. You know, it's funny that a year or two ago, you know, Maserati was the most hated woman on the roster. And Brittany Brooks was the most beloved woman on the roster. And now it's a year later, and Maserati is one of the most beloved women on the roster, and Brittany's one of the most hated. So it's amazing the you know, the sands of time and what they do to people. And it's like and Maz has been banged up, you know, a decent amount in her career, and Brittany, you know, has been out a couple times with major knee surgeries.
Right.
And, you know, she's barely, you know, 22 years old, you know, 21 years old. And it's like, you never know when all of a sudden, like with Chris Bay, was that my last match, you know?
Right.
And you never think. And then all of a sudden you see certain people, or a guy like Edge, for example, who, man, he called it a career. He was done. It was like, oh, what a great career he had. And then all of a sudden, he came back, and now he's been going strong for a long time. Or Cena has become a huge movie star, but decided to give back and do it one last time. And you heard about the final, the finality of it all, and now we're just a few weeks from that. So it's like, you know, in this business, a lot of times they say, you know, never say never. Nobody really retires. But in most cases, it's because you're forced to and not because you want to.
Right. Speaking of that, you know, you said you talked to Zoe. And speaking of injuries, how is she coming along?
She's doing very well from what she says. So, you know, she's hoping. Same thing with Brian Cage. Talked with him. Yeah. And, you know, the prognosis is that we had heard from them recently seemed to be possibly incorrect, and they might be back a little sooner. So, you know, I don't want to say anything, but, you know, they both seem to be very positive in things that are happening in their rehab that, you know, hopefully, because again, Brian's had a few setbacks, but he's hoping that, you know, the light is very close to the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. When you you look at these matches that are stacked up here, we got another title match for the tag team championships, the triple threat, where Transcendence is going to be defending against the Mariachis and the Suavecitos. Do you think that this is a test for Transcendence? Because, you know, these guys are getting pretty gold heavy, collecting some belts, not only here, but in Arizona as well. You know,
and in Hollywood.
Yeah, in Hollywood as well. They're doing pretty impressive, man. You know, and throw Evan and Daniels in the mix too. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I definitely saw a lot in those guys, in their demeanor, their attitude, and that transcends. It really does. That, you know, when the idea came up of a name, you know, Bryce had it. And Bryce was a guy who, again, you know, Future Shock against Ice Williams really stood out. And it was like, wow, you know, if this guy can make certain things a priority, and he did. And, you know, he's become a valuable member of the FSW roster. And it's really amazing how we acquire these guys that initially it seems like, hey, they're coming in with somebody. Everybody wants a shot at FSW. I get a million messages. I saw something about what Gino Rivera was posting about, you know, getting on shows and things like that. And, you know, I always chime in a little bit. And, you know, I basically said, I'm like, most people who get booked on my show, it's because somebody else who's higher up the food chain says, hey, this guy is definitely worth a shot. You know, take a look at him. I really like him. He's a good dude. And like I said, with Damian Desire, it was Jacob Austin Young, who Damian Desire brings Bryce Saturn along with Evan Daniels and stuff like that. So it's like these guys, they aren't getting 4, 5, 6 opportunities to impress me. They're getting one. You know, and Bryce Saturn wrestled a while back, and it was like, oh, yeah, he's pretty decent, but, you know, he's doing other things in town, whatever, no big deal. He was moving to North Carolina or something. And then he came back, and then we gave him the match with Ice, and then it was like from that point on, it was like, you know, he had in his mindset what he wanted, and that was to be part of FSW, and he was going to do whatever it took. Now, on the other side of that was him really taking it to the next level. When he came back from North Carolina, it was, you know what? And I didn't realize, I thought he was, you know, 25, 26, 27. It turned out he was 22, 23, you know?
Right.
And it was because he's like, hey, you know, you have any spots in that Future Legends tournament? I'm like, dude, it's 25 and under. Like, I'm not even thinking, you know? And he's like, oh, dude, I'm only 23. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, cool. And killed it in that match, too, when they had the four-way with Marcus Mathers and Bodie and Matt Vandegrift. So it's like these guys put in the work, number one. And number two, there's a lot of issues in wrestling with the independent guys. And like, well, you know, I read this, so I need $250 to come in. And it's like, yeah, bro, we're not paying you that on a school show. Sorry, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm the first person, the most honest person. And I'm going to tell you, I'm like, hey, you know, you ain't coming here to get paid. That's not what you're going to get out of this. If you're up to it, fantastic. And you see and you weed out, you know, get these messages. Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm not flying you in. I don't even know you. Like, I'm going to fly you in from New York. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, are you serious? Like, who are you to begin with? You're messaging me and you're dictating rates and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, do your work. Do your research, just like I have to do my work and I have to do my research. Nothing like the random message of, hey, we really, you know, I'm really interested. I love your product. You know, FCW is awesome. It's like, yeah, it's FSW, you fucking idiot. Like, you know, act like you've been there before, you know, and it's like, you want people that want to be there, understand how it works. And hey, when you come to the show on Sunday, you know, there's a chance a D'Lo and Chris Bay and Kenny King is already going to be there in the Rumble. And it's like, you're going to have all these people and who, you know, sitting and watching and being around and, you know, If you take, you know, being at a, you know, WWE thing, you're eliminating a lot of companies when it says, hey, I'm going to be on this show and there's going to be all this talent around. Maybe I could pick up a thing or two. You know, oh, I can go to a cross seminar. And it's like, you know what? You know, Kevin's not going to sit there and explain to you, you know, how to take a proper move, but I'm pretty sure Kevin's going to give you a rundown of how this business works and what you need to do.
Right.
And that's why it's like, I had Tom make the poster and it's like, you know, Kevin was one of the first people ever to really use social media to promote his matches and what he had going on, as we see what Richard Holiday is doing today.
Yeah, right.
And I talked with Richard on the phone actually the other day. We're actually discussing doing something together WrestleMania weekend, because he came out here a couple of years ago. Guy Cintron, who wrestled a little bit for us, he was friends with him, and him and Anthony Green, who's killing it in you know, Japan, knows a lot of the FSW guys through working the Oregon shows back in the day, you know. Right. And him and Holiday came out, and Remy got to work Holiday, and we did a whole thing when it was, I believe, SummerSlam weekend, and struck up, you know, kind of a friendship, and with Hammerstone and Cross. So we think we could do something exciting Mania weekend, Mania week. So, you know, we're talking with them, and it's, again, it all falls into place. It's right place, right time. It's meeting as many people as you can. And it's not about what that person can do for you. It's what everybody can do for each other. And when you find somebody that you enjoy working with, I like Holiday. So it's like, you know, I see his posts and I'm like, wow, this guy's getting a lot of traction. You know, he's doing the same thing that Cross was doing and taking it to, and it's again, he posted it and it made sense. And it's like, you know, while you're working on trying to get yourself over at the show, I'm getting myself over every day instead of just that day, just for those people at the show. And it's like, now he's making himself a valuable commodity,
right,
on the independents. So, hey, now it's like, hey, how does it work? Now Richard Holiday's getting booked on Booker T's show, Reality of Wrestling, and Danny Limelight, and same thing with us. And it's about making yourself valuable to others. You know, it's the biggest thing, you know, maybe Kevin can instill into these younger guys that the key to success is not trying to work 7 shows in your hometown.
Yeah.
Maybe it's working 7 shows out of town.
Right.
Because somebody else in another state thinks that you have value.
Right.
And that's how you grow and expand and meet new people and meet different people. You know, the Suavecitos got over because they became known and popular in the SoCal area. And they worked the PCW Arizona shows. And a lot of these guys branched out. And branching out is the only way that it's going to matter. Or how Brittany Brooks or how Transcendence made themselves valuable and Class and Reno and that whole Phoenix crew, that they're making their value. And now you see Class and Reno at Winter Circle up in mid central California or whatever it is. And getting out there is where you're going to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things. You know, it's, you know, listen, all 3 teams in this match.
Yeah, Mariachis. They get to work at Dodger Stadium because they went to Santino Brothers.
Right.
It wasn't like, hey, we got this team from Vegas we've never seen or saw perform. Let's book them at Dodger Stadium. No, they had to work some of those shows at Santino's and be like, oh, yeah, we like these guys, good characters, you know. We like what they bring to the table. They'd be cool to be on the Dodger Stadium show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they also have been slapping people in the face too. So,
well, there you go.
And another match here, Pretty City Express, another example of a team that came from Arizona and going against the Unguided. Even with that, you know, Matt Vandergriff comes to L.A. because he meets Damian Drake, or comes to Vegas because he met Damian Drake in L.A. You know, it's it's crazy how these paths cross and these guys get these opportunities and then they start building upon it. And you can't go wrong with
all about relationships. The relationships in wrestling is first and foremost the most important thing. And when I talk about these seminars, and a lot of people, oh, yeah, they're a waste of time. You know, okay, believe what you want to believe. You know, save that $30 to $50 that's going to do nothing. You know, you're probably behind on dues as it is, and I'm still letting you kind of come to these things. And that's what kills me, that it's like, you know. But then you get the others who, you know, don't read on Facebook that going to the Gabe seminar is a waste of $100. You know, go tell Ice Williams or Jordan Oasis or a lot of the people that were in the women's ID match,
right,
how being on Gabe Sapolsky's radar was a waste of $100.
Right. Yeah.
You know, go ask Zeta Steele, who now rumors are that she might sign with AEW, how being on the radar was a waste of money and time. Like, you're jumping the line. You're basically jumping the line. Go to a club and try to get in a club without paying somebody $100 just to get in the club that night. Here you're jumping a line in wrestling to get seen by people. You know, it isn't like you're paying me $100 to get seen for FSW. You're getting seen for WWE fucking E, dumbass, or TNA when we would do the Impact tryouts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, oh, it's just a money grab. Well, first off, people, they're going to make money. People are doing things to make money.
Right.
You know, Gabe's making money. But, hey, I think we saw Bodhi because we got Bodhi on Gabe's radar because we made Bodhi go to the seminar. We made, say, Bodhi, you need to do this. And Bodhi did it.
Yeah.
And wow, this kid's only 15. Oh, this kid's only 16. Oh, this kid's only 17.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and you know, here's some examples of, you know, a guy who just did a seminar recently and has been impressive ever since, right?
I'll be honest with you, you know, nobody was like, oh my God, we got to get Jaden Cole on a Future Shock yet, because he hadn't been there that long. And, you know, he's training, you know, not saying sporadically by he just shows up once in a while, but like one, you know, he might come 2 days in a week, but it might be Kenny's class and Cody's class. And then the next week it might have been Remy's class. So he really wasn't there, and he had been out a while. And then he came in, and I was like, I'm not going to stop somebody. But him and Jazeer were like, we're going to do the seminar. And I know it includes a practice match. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, if you guys think you want to do the match, because I'm not going to stop somebody from paying to go to the seminar to listen and learn and find out what you need to do. Because not everybody has to get a match. You know, there's certain people that were there that have never had a match before. And it was like, yeah, you know, you sit and listen and you pick up for the next time. So they wanted to have a match. It's a 3 or 4 minute match. Of course, I'm going to let them have it. And they went out there and it was like, oh, shit. And then, you know, Gabe was kind of like, this was your first matches. And even Jazeer did very well, you know, and he got hurt and he was banged up when he went into it. But he ended up not being training for like a month or two after the fact, but he got through the match because, you know, and again, we let them, you know, kind of pick who they wanted to work with. So, of course, Jaden Cole picked his buddy and they did the match. And it was like, oh, shit, I got to get this guy on Future Shock. Like, holy crap. And then all of a sudden he went out, he sold a bunch of tickets and he killed it on Future Shock. And then we did the thing with Sharp and he did well against the heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
And one of our best workers. And it was like, and now the spotlight, you know, he gave him, you know, it would have been nice if somebody else gave him the nickname, but he came up with the nickname. It's a good nickname, the spotlight. But he is in the spotlight because you see a lot of the younger guys, you know, quietly aren't very happy because maybe they feel they should be in the spotlight. And it's like, you know what? You guys got to earn these positions. You guys think that it comes granted. I'm not the genie that just grants you the wish of what you want. You actually have to put the fucking work in. And some of these guys don't put the work in. It's like, okay, right now we're at Thursday, and there's some younger guys that are in the Rumble, and I have not seen them Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You know, I got some stuff that needs to be moved for the trailer because it's in my driveway. We're doing it today. But yesterday I made the post, and not one fucking response. Like, wow, you know, obviously Dustin on the way to the school. Oh yeah, I just got that work out. But it's the same people. You know, it's always gonna be Phil, it's always gonna be Dustin, it's always gonna be Jimmy Jack. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow, it's mind-boggling how many of you always seem to try to slip through the cracks and think that I don't notice and think that I don't see. And think that, oh, wait, I'm going to show up Sunday to help set up the ring and then say, hey, am I in the Rumble? And it's like, okay. Unfortunately, some of you got posters that are in the Rumble, but if I don't see you, you, Matt, will know why they're not in the Rumble because you saw them advertised. Card is subject to change.
Right.
And that's it's like, you know what? I just added a pre-show match, and Jeffrey Excellence and Trademark gets the rub off Excellence, who's you know, put in the work, deserves either a spot, which, you know, there's a good chance if Excellence would have got the spot in the Rumble, Trademark wouldn't have been on the show. But I then made the call yesterday to Young Money, who are as deserving as anybody, but I wasn't going to put them in the Rumble. So I'm like, hey, you guys good for that, I assume. Yep, blah, blah, blah. So now that's our pre-show match.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, which is, and again, you talk about guys who deserve that. I mean, look at what, you know, those four guys have done. And it's, you know, especially, you know, Young Money, again, another out of town team who continues to show growth every time that they perform.
And, you know, with their new tights, if I wear my Earl Campbell jersey, I could be their manager. Like, wow, old school. And it was funny because I saw him. I'm like, wow, pretty interesting with the Houston Oilers gear. And RJ's funny. He was like, I don't even know who they were. I wasn't even born. And I'm like, yeah, because Jaden Cole's, Jaden Monroe's a 20-year veteran. It's like he's like a year older than you. So he knows who they are. How do you not know who they are? But it was funny that it was like, boy, it's good. I remember in golf, Payne Stewart used to always wear like the gear of an NFL team.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, boy, it's going to be pretty expensive getting gear of every NFL team. But it's like, maybe you should just try to do the teams that were like no longer in the NFL.
Right. Right. And, you know, and now that's become an industry in itself for all of the retro throwbacks that are no longer teams. So,
yeah, the problem is, though, it's like, well, the Baltimore Colts are now the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, when the Baltimore Ravens, you know, came in, they were the Cleveland Browns, so there was no Cleveland Browns, but then Cleveland got back the team and they were the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
So there's none of these obsolete teams anymore.
Right.
In those terms. So, you know, offhand, I can't really think of anybody other than the Houston Oilers as an NFL franchise from, say, the 70s on,
right?
Taking that over.
Sure. That's a good point. That's a fair point. All right. So, you know, talking about this Rumble here that's going to go down, you know, you got six former champs. I mean, is any one of those guys stick out as a guy that Greg should be maybe getting himself ready for?
Yeah, pretty much everybody, I would think, you know. Shogun has seen limited action, and now he feels he's ready to go, you know. And then you got Graves, who hasn't been around in a while. Well, winning the Rumble and becoming the heavyweight champion pretty much ensures a future booking. You know what I mean?
If the envelopes, if the envelope's right, I'm sure Graves will appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, with me, Graves is never worried about the envelope. He's just always worried about the opportunity. And like I said, you know, I'm not bringing in Graves just to bring him in and have him beat up some kid in Future Shock, because he might do that for free. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, I think, you know, talking about some of those kids and missing opportunities, I think you just have Joe backstage, you know,
with the time.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, Hammerstone having him back, and, you know, he's doing the MLW thing. He's doing the NWA thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of good things. Hit pause. I got to take my dog needs out.
All right. Go ahead. So look at some of the, you know, again, you got Remy Marcel, who, you know, is intricate to what goes on in FSW, as well as Kenny King. You know, Kenny, a veteran, and someone who, you know, knows a lot of these younger guys who are going to be in the match because of being a trainer at the school. And of course, Ice Williams, you know, fresh off a championship still, essentially.
Well, yeah, you know, and he did get the rematch, but, you know, a lot of faction issues going on. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where his head's at, you know, with dealing. I saw they put out their first mini film with Demir and again, Fresco and Watson. And as Fresco and Watson, we know we'll be coming in together. But the question is, what faction shenanigans will be going on at the Rumble?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what goes down. I mean, of course, you know, Braxton and Ice.
A lot of former champs. You know, we have those big six FSW heavyweight champions. But, man, there's probably 20 people in that match at least that have held championships in FSW.
Yep, including these guys, Sky High. You know, the former tag team champs. Talk about fresh off a championship, Dante King. Bodie, another ex-champ. And including current champions, right? During Oasis.
And San Lu.
Yeah, there he is. So, you know, just a big, big opportunity for a lot of these guys. Colin Muldoon, who I think has already declared himself the winner of the match.
Yeah, probably.
And JKM, who is continuing to show every time he goes out there, man, what a consistently good worker he is, man.
You know, he's been voted most likely to eliminate himself from the Rumble by jumping outside the ring to maybe shades of our very first show, Battle Royal, when I told the story of the guy having to call 911 because he was bleeding out of his ears.
Well, I can see JKM trying to do a Kofi, you know, trying to jump onto a guardrail or something like that. And,
something.
You know, something might happen. Something might go wrong. Adrian Rain, of course, is one of the younger guys getting an opportunity. And again, subject to change always. So, you know, this is what we know as of now. Luke Curtis just won a battle royal and lost a battle royal.
Yes.
So, you know, opportunity there. Zamaya, I mean, listen, Zamaya versus G-Sharp. That would be a pretty interesting, entertaining match, man.
It would definitely be one of the harder hitting matches.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know in the history of FSW that I can recall, there's never been an intergender match for the championship, has there?
You are incorrect.
Okay.
Chris Bay defended the title against Shotzi.
Oh, okay. Wow. There we go.
I believe he was the champion at the time.
At the time. Okay.
I believe it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have to look it up as we speak.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a little trivia there. I did not know that. Former champion again, Duke.
See, Dad, we could have gave away a free meet and greet with Cross for the
answer to the.
Yeah. But now we gave it away. Sorry, got to pay.
You're either the worst promoter ever or the best promoter ever.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, I can't give away that good stuff.
Right. That's true. There's the faction, of course, you know, again, talking about former champions, former tag team champs there. We'll also see the Po' Boys and Kevin Koa, another one who's grown and come a long way. And, of course, Bateman, who Bateman still has a case, right?
Bateman has a case, and he has Jay Vidal.
Right. And Jay is in. Is that correct?
Jay is in also, yes. It was a miscue from Tom. So that flyer came out last, I believe.
Okay. I didn't see that one. So
it is out.
So if you're collecting the flyers, that's the that's the valuable one, right? That's Greatness right. And Tenacious, they'll be in there. And, of course, Mizani, who is coming off of getting that surgically repaired iron claw ready, right?
Yes, he said he is ready to go.
So, I mean, that's what we got listed. Any other names? Or is that what we have going in?
We got to get the posters out there with the final editions. Andrew Delgado and the Asylum.
Oh, well. All right. It's a big opportunity for those guys. That's nice. Yeah. And everything's going to be hosted by Chris Bay. So, yeah, you know, former FSW champion hosting the show as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the thing. I found the Shotzi Chris Bay, and it seems like it was at the Poder show.
Oh, wow.
But I'm sure we did it. I know we did right. it.
Okay.
Because the one here at this Poder show, it was like, there's no way this was our show. There was, like, nobody there. Like, holy cow.
Wow.
And it's, yeah, so this one was in 2019. And Macho Mouse was the referee.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it was in the horrible red 16-foot ring that Sin Bodhi owned that we had up at the time. Oh, it is atrocious. That needs to be wiped. Holy crap. That looks like... Man.
Came straight off the farm.
I'm going to have to message Chris Bay. It's like, wait, you wrestled Shotzi twice? Like, this is like going to ruin my whole thought process of Bay versus Shotzi. It's like, it's hard for me to believe he worked her twice, but it's possible.
I'm sorry to ruin your day, Joe.
Man. Oh, no, it was ruined way before that, but still.
Oh, man.
I'm waiting to see if Chris has an answer. Because, yeah, we tried this week to, you know, get Cross or Chris Bay on, you know, for the history of the against all odds, luck of the draw, you know, the middle of the thing, game change. Ah, Chris, right with the quick message. Poder defending the FSW title. Okay, so I was half right.
Yeah.
But, man.
So
all these years later, it made me believe that we actually had a good crowd there.
So technically, FSW itself, the belt has been defended in an intergender match, but never on an FSW card.
Correct.
Okay. Well, there we go. There's the trivia answer for those people who are still on hold waiting on the call.
Caller number 86.
And again, just, you know, so we put it out there again, Cross FSW Arena, $40 to participate in the seminar on the 24th at 5 p.m. And then later on that night, 8 p.m. is 8 p.m. the night with Killer Cross, an intimate evening with a killer. Where he'll be telling stories and taking questions and probably answering just about anything known Kevin.
Yeah, you never know. You know, maybe. And we, you know, it was brought up. I haven't talked with Kevin, but maybe we open the show. We talked about maybe somebody from the seminar.
Oh, well, that'd be nice.
And then we have a match.
Nice. Possibly. I was kind of hoping for a Cross song and dance to open up the show, but, you know, a match would be fine.
Yeah, it's possible. You have to be part of the seminar, so I know there's students who think they're just going to be picked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea. You know, you posted this not too long ago, Lucha Libre show coming to FSW Arena, December 19th. Details coming soon.
Yeah, we're going to have to make up flyers for events being held at the arena. You know, we've really been working on that. So I met a guy, Fernando, through my guy Richard from East Los Lucha. He sent them our way. He wanted to do a show in Vegas. And I know he's got he was waiting on the main event. And I guess Santo he has a son, and Santo Jr. will be in the main event. And from what I understand, there'll be some known luchadors there. So obviously, it's only less than a month away. So he had to lock him in. So we're going to get things out. But that's December 19th. Juicy has confirmed. Contract is signed. The Oasis Pro that he runs with some people and friends, they will be at the FSW Arena January 10th. So on the 19th, we have the Lucha show, and we're doing Seasons Beatings the 20th. So it'll be a double shot weekend there. We got Juicy January 10th. Working on something for May 3rd. Talking with some people out of state to do a major event in San Diego in March. You know, got my people from the Strip. They're coming to the show, you know, trying to lock in things there.
Yep.
And again, it's just on and on and on. And it's just like, wow. Like I said, I've never been busier in the history of FSW than, you know, we are now trying to get things done. So.
Yeah. What is your champion's mindset going into Sunday? Does Greg have someone in mind that he would probably like to face more than you know, anyone else? Someone that Greg might be pulling for to win this so he has a chance at him?
Well, I'm pretty sure Sharp's first choice would have been to work Cross. But, you know, that's been pulled out of the equation. So, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, you know, we talked about, you know, Shogun was the champ. I'm sure we've never done Sharp and Shogun because one was running with the Nevada State.
Right.
You know, it was the same thing with Ice and Sharp that, you know, we got those matches in there. But there's definitely new talent that you would think, you know. Greg wrestled Kenny King at the Silverton very early in his career. You know, I would imagine a guy like Kenny who helped train Sharp, and now that Sharp's the champ, that would probably be, you know, high on his list. You know, Remy Marcel here was a guy that basically started the change of Hyperstreak, and Sharp is what he is today because of Remy Marcel. So now that becomes an option, in my opinion. The guy who was running the show with Cross was Hammerstone. So that would have to be a guy on the radar of Gregory Sharp. So, you know, and then there's the newer talent. Hey, the Luke Curtises of the world who have made themselves, you know, a viable contender. In there, you know, he's probably wrestled a bunch of scrambles that had guys like Oasis and you know, six or seven, and the Ice Williams being that he just finished up with him. So, you know, Greg's pretty even keel. That's the one thing about Greg. So, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, that his bucket list will be added to. Because I'm pretty sure the top talent in the Rumble are guys, even if Greg has worked them, may have been 3 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago. Like Kenny King, man, that had to be probably close to 10 years ago.
Yeah, and Kenny was 55 then.
Yeah. So, you know, but he, like a fine wine, you know, he ages.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Greg's going to sit back, you know, maybe do some commentary on the Rumble. You know, we've done that. I remember Eli Drake, L.A. Knight, doing commentary. You know, we're trying to find like the starts of Against All Odds. And the first date I find is 2014 when Lance Hoyt won the Rumble. And wrestled Matt Hardy, but I swear we did it before that.
Huh.
But when I look on the pages of FSW and try to type in Against All Odds or something for 2013, like for some reason, I'm assuming it was after that because I remember Lance Hoyt wrestled Graves. We did like a tournament as part of Against All Odds. So it may not have been a Rumble, but I swear it was. But, you know, everything gets kind of convoluted. I remember Chris Bay, I think it was 17 and 18 possibly, or 18 and 19. One year he lost to Hammerstone after winning the Rumble. The next year he won the Rumble and beat Hammerstone for the title. I believe the year after Shogun won it and Graves attacked him with Hammerstone and he ended up getting the spot and then beat Bay for the title. And then we had to take the year off because of the pandemic. And then EC3 and Juicy won together to take on Hammerstone the next day. So, but those early years, you know, even finding it on, you know, CageNet.
Yeah.
Like they have a missing year in there that doesn't have any of the shows. So it's trying to find it. And I didn't spend that much time looking, but you know, maybe we'll recap all the Rumbles because I do remember LA Knight, Eli Drake winning a Rumble.
Okay.
So what year that was, I don't know. Because that had to be the year, it had to be 15 or 16, I think, because if, or 17 if Bay was 18 and 19. It's like, when did Chris Bay win the Rumble? So, you know, since I got Chris Bay, you know, on the line since he's right there. Did you win Rumble 18 and 19? Or 17 and 18? You know, trying to get these facts straight.
Yeah, because Cage Match has you in November of 14, you had Luck of the Draw. In December of 14,
yeah, that wasn't that show though, because Against All Odds was the name. Luck of the Draw was a regular show.
Yeah, it was the next month.
Right. 17 and 18, Chris Bay.
Okay.
So I'm thinking 2016. Let's see. Date posted. Let's see what 2016 pops up. Future Stars of Wrestling. 2016 doesn't show anything, which is hard to understand, hard to believe. Against All Odds.
Yeah.
Matt Vandegrift won it recently and.
Right.
Lost.
Right. That's when Matt worked three matches that night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was the No Limits champion.
Right. Right. And then there was, because that was the one, what's his face, was in for that he couldn't face.
Oh, Leona.
Yeah.
We had to change the, we can say that now that Toa Leona was scheduled to win that match.
Yeah.
So I got 2022, which is the one with Hammerstone. 2017 and 18 was Chris Bay. 2014 was Lance Hoyt. So now the question is, 2015, we had.
Could that have been the Ricker year?
That could have been, because I'm looking at the flyer that has TJP, Funny Bone, Jacob Austin Young, Ryan Taylor, Cross, and Eli Drake on the flyer.
Yeah, that could have been.
That was 2015, but CageNet does not have it.
Right. Right, which is strange.
Because, wait, 2015, that was the next year, I believe, when Lance Hoyt was in the matches with Graves. Because I'm looking at the entrance. You got Funny Bone at 21. Oh, no, that was November 21st. Because entrant number two was Funny Bone. Three was Sergeant Major, Mike Delight. Yeah, Eli Drake, he went by. So that might have been the year he won. Interesting. Disco Inferno was in it.
Any chance of getting Disco into this one?
I guess if I hit him up, there probably would have been a chance. Especially with Cross there. There you go. I got to make sure I message Disco and let him know. Like, hey, Cross is going to be here. You want to come by? You never know. We might be able to. That'd be awesome. A Disco Inferno Lava Lounge.
Yeah.
With Danny Limelight.
Yeah.
Interrupted by Killer Cross.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Cagematch.net. Loses you from the end of 15 to the end or to March of 17. So it's like about a year and a half with no listings. And in all of your 17, there's only one card listed for 17. That's strange. Only a few for 18. Wow.
I got something I might have on it. I have all the stuff from the shows that we did. Yeah, probably not. I'm trying to find
because I have the hard drive, because we had to download all the stuff.
Yeah.
And it had like every single show Jake gave me. I don't think this could be the one, but I'm not positive. And then it would have all the shows that we did. So it's possible.
It's like an internet reality series of searching for the lost history of FSW.
Yeah, because, you know, usually it was emblazoned in my brain and I could just come up with those things. But now, you know, I want to go through an archive and just see how many shows we've actually done. Because we might like be at like a major milestone, like, hey, 1,000 shows. That would be awesome. You know what I mean? It's like, how many Future Shocks? How many have we done of this, that, and the other thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you're averaging 30 to 40 a year recently, you know,
it's, yeah, we have to be at least at 500 shows, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
So somewhere in that ballpark, yeah.
Because, you know, hey, doing the Toy Con and you're doing a show for 3 days and you do this and, you know. But, yeah, that's gonna be my project for next week. My next week's project, because I know this ain't the drive, because the one Jake gave me was kind of thinner. So I know it's definitely not this one. But we put it into the archives and I downloaded, because I forgot what it was for. That, oh yeah, for the Title Match Network.
Okay, yeah.
And we sent them a whole bunch of shows.
Nice.
So yeah, this isn't it either. So, but then I also put it in this hard drive. You know what I mean? It's like, who the hell knows where anything is? It's like, why can't I find Against All Odds 2015? Let's see. If I put it in on the, sometimes in the Google search, that's where I found some stuff. Against All Odds 2015, sure. FSW. Da, da, da. Doesn't have it there. Because sometimes we pop it in and then all of a sudden it shows something from, like, even the old FSW network.
Right.
Like, do I even have access to that anymore? You know, because Ben also had a bunch of the stuff too.
Right, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think it exists anymore. Oh, it says watch now. Let's see, Against All Odds. Let me type it in. If it is, it would be here quick if we got it. Search results. No TV shows matching. Videos. Yeah, it ain't looking like nothing showing. All right. That's the project for next week. When we recap Against All Odds.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So I do know for a fact that Eli Drake was victorious. So that would be 15 or 16. Wait, he was victorious. Now, I would have thought that he would have wrestled Cross. You know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that would make sense, right?
You would think. Yeah, there's nothing on this FSW network, so FSW Against All.
It's interesting. It's almost like the that period, it keeps coming up on the net as with 14, and then it kind of picks up again at 19. So
yeah, because here it says when I typed in 2015, now whether it was that date, On November 20th, 2000, it doesn't say the day. On November 20th, Usyk presents Against All Odds on Fight. Yeah, it wouldn't have been 2015. 30-man Rumble winner challenge is Hammerstone. Yeah, that wouldn't be that one.
Yeah. Interesting. So,
yeah. Unfortunately, we've lost it. Which is weird because you would think it would have to show up on the Future Stars of Wrestling Facebook page. You know what I mean?
For yeah.
2015, because we would have put out flyers. And in 2015, it was still called Against All Odds.
Yeah. That Facebook engine, though, sometimes getting stuff that is like way back is, it's not the easiest.
Yeah, so. You know what? I'm looking under Joe DeFalco for 2015. So, official card for Against All Odds 2015.
Ah.
There you go. So I found that one. 20-man Rumble match. Winner gets FSW championship match with Kevin Cross. Jacob Young versus Ryan Taylor. 2 out of 3 falls.
Wow.
For the No Limits. Tag team title match. The BFFs versus the Pistoleros, which is Che and Tito. And Thomas Day and a mystery partner versus the Midnight Marvels, Damian Drake and Spider Warrior.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this was an upset. Jason Partain in 2015 shocked the world and won the Rumble thanks to Rush. And he wrestled Cross in the main event.
Okay.
I'm pretty positive on that.
And I think that's something you've mentioned before. I believe.
And I think 2016 is when Eli Drake won that. So, in 2000, at Luck of the Draw, 6 Rumble spots will be earned. Hey, see, Luck of the Draw back then. With the winner spotted Against All Odds. So, let's see. The young Nino Black, Willie Mack was in it. Dave Mazzani was in it. Graves and Hammerstone. Carl Fredericks. 4 Corners. Tag title match, the Players Club, Hater and Cash, Whirlwind Gentlemen, Reno Scum, and BFFs. The former Dak Draper, Sammy Six Guns, Funny Bone, Eli Drake, entrant number 11, former champ, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I can't find anything about the card yet.
Right.
But it's like, man, why can't I find anything about results?
Well, no, that's now that's what we have to you have to start writing that history book now.
So it is the challenge because I saw a Luck of the Draw, 5 men earned spots to go for Cross. His heavyweight title in 2016. So, yeah, that would be Cross versus Eli Drake.
Because Eli Drake was
Eli Drake, with the help of the Reno Scum, defeated Cross for the championship.
Yeah, because that's when he was in Impact at that point.
Yeah.
Because I think Ricker had just gone back to to TNA that early that year or early or late in 15, somewhere around there. So,
yeah, you would have thought it'd be somewhere because, oh, there we go. November 20th, and Against All Odds, for the first time in FSW history, all three titles changed hands. Congratulations to our new champions, FSW heavyweight champion Eli Drake, No Limits champion Jace Battle, and tag team champions the Whirlwind Gentlemen. There you go. Wow. Man, the biggest mystery in FSW history, 2016. That's when Eli Drake became the champion.
Yeah, and he beat his former WWE co-worker there for the belt.
Yeah, and then he was gone by the time Solo Sikoa came back. So the, you know, the trifecta never happened.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah, lot of history.
Yeah.
In that, because I know, as I said, 2017, Chris Bay won the Rumble. Lost the championship match. 2018, won the Rumble, won the championship match.
Right.
2019 was the Graves.
Right.
Swerve. 2020 was November, so we had no shows.
Right.
So the 21 was the
anniversary show.
Anniversary, the 2-year anniversary. And right. That was when Hammerstone was the champion. And now I'm losing my memory from the newer years. 22 was at Silver Nugget when we got that place because the version fucked us over.
Right.
And that's when Vandegrift cashed in. I mean, won the Rumble and lost.
Yeah, I guess that would have been
2022.
Yeah.
Now we had 23 what and 24, it? Which became Luck of the Draw. And... man, I can't even remember what happened last year. You know, last year, who was the champion? Was it was Danny Limelight?
What, last year would have been, yeah.
Well, 24, yeah. I guess we can look that one up on CageNet, right? It was, that was the Luck of the Draw. On Cage.
No, and there's Joe's God. So, oh man, he probably eliminated himself. Anyway, really quick, another rundown one more time. What you're going to see at Luck of the Draw on this Sunday, November 23rd, 5 p.m. You can see it on the Title Match Network. If you're not in Las Vegas, if you are here, you could still come down to the Silverton. You can get tickets on the Silverton website or contact Joe directly. You'll see Killer Cross versus former FSW heavyweight champion Danny Limelight. Brittany Brooks defends the women's championship against Maserati. The triple threat match for the tag team championship. Transcendence defends against the Mariachi and Suavecitos. You'll have the Unguided taking on Pretty City Express. And in, oh, here we go. We got Joe back.
Yeah, I had too many tabs open, so I clicked the wrong tab, I guess. So, yeah, so... so 2023? Yeah, 2023, Matt Vandegrift inserted himself into the match.
Right.
And that was what was Ice, Vandegrift, and Shogun. So Shogun won right. The championship.
That's right. Yes.
Against Ice Williams.
Right.
So now the question becomes, in November of 2024, that was Ice Williams winning the Rumble, wasn't it? Against Danny Limelight.
Yeah, it would have to. It would have had to been. Yeah.
And that's when Limelight broke his nose.
Right. Yeah.
And got disqualified.
Right.
Because he hit him with the belt.
Yeah.
And Danny used the excuse that he was concussed. Right. And didn't realize he was hitting him with the belt, even though he was grabbing it four different times.
Hey, man, those concussions are pretty.
No, brutal. I got you. But yeah, we never verified whether he had. I'm just saying he said he had a concussion.
And that's right. Yeah, I believe him. I believe him. I trust him.
All right. So, yeah. So now we head into 2025. Final casino show of the year.
Yep.
Two of our champions are in the, to add with the six former FSW champions and probably the 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 past champions. So, yeah, this is definitely going to be the most star-studded roulette rumble match I think we've ever had.
Yeah. And there you
go. Duke Lawrence, former Nevada State champion. He's definitely he's a favorite with his size.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a lot of other, with Koa and Zamaya. You know, unfortunately, yeah, the whole MK army isn't there, but I could see MK, you know, renting a couple of guys to try to make sure they get Duke Lawrence in the mix.
Sure. Yeah. And Greg versus Duke Lawrence, you know, that'd be a pretty fascinating match.
Yeah, and we've seen some issues between them already. So it's going to be interesting to see. Big Duke Lawrence, the minute he lost that Nevada State Championship, he had his eyes, or MK, because MK's always, you know, wanted the big one.
Correct.
And he's had some tag champions, and he has the tag champions, and the Nevada State Championship. You know, but for many years, he was trying desperately to take out Hammerstone for the heavyweight championship. So he'll be there, you know, fresh off his business with, you know, Utah football. And I know he's not too happy. He wasn't there. You know, Shogun got involved and there was no MK when Duke lost the Nevada State Championship.
Right. So, Yeah. And of course, you know, MK will be in the corner of Transcendence. So,
absolutely. So, you know, we got a lot to look forward to. Another big show. You know, Front Row has been sold out for weeks. And, you know, tickets are moving very well, which we expected, you know, especially with Cross. You know, a lot of people coming. There is a meet and greet with Kevin. That's going to start about 2:45. Get there early. Hit us up for details. It's the personal meet and greet. It's $40 for a picture with Kevin. And it's $70 if you also want an 8x10 autograph for Mr. Cross. At 3:15, we're going to do the regular meet and greet that Kevin will not be a part of. You want to meet Kevin, it's going to be before. The regular meet and greet includes, you know, all our wrestlers hanging out and, you know, trying to sell their merch and meet and greeting with fans. Yeah. And that is $20. And, you know, if you can't figure it out, you can go to the website, the Silverton. It's available there too. But the Kevin one, personal one, is through us. So hit me up.
There we go. And if by chance, let's say you can't make it out Sunday and you are a fan of Cross, remember on Monday the 24th, it's 8 p.m. at the FSW Arena. It's $100 for a night with Killer Cross, an intimate evening.
You never know who else is going to be there. You know, Kevin's got some friends and they live in town. They may drop by and, you know, you might be able, who knows? Who knows what wrestling superstar from Vegas will be there to maybe ask Kevin a question. Who knows? You know, maybe RVD wants to buy a ticket for a night with Killer Cross.
Right.
Nah, he'll ask for a freebie.
Yeah. What world do we live in it? Come on. Yeah. All right. Final thoughts as we head out this week.
No, we're excited. Big show, man. This is the big last one, and you know, made it a point, you know, to get Kevin if we could, and things worked out, and we're excited. You know, Hammerstone, Kevin, Bay, all in the same building. You know, three of the greatest FSW champions of all time. You know, it'd be nice if LA Knight could show up too, but you know, probably doubtful, you know, unless you get him in the lift before the show, and instead of taking him where he needs to go, just, you know, drive him to the, he's like, wait, this place looks familiar. It's like, yep, it's where you won the FSW heavyweight championship twice. We're kidnapping you and taking you in.
You know, he might have to contact his buddy Trevor, because, you know.
The one who stiffed you.
Yeah.
Because I was telling the story, because we were trying to get the after party. And I always remember when Sean would come, we'd go to the Blind Pig, and there would be the wrestler meal, and there'd be the half price things. And Sean was always the guy who ordered full price off the menu and tipped very well. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was that Trevor guy. That Trevor guy stiffed you.
There we go. All right. Well, until this Sunday, thank you everyone for tuning in. And again, you can check it out on Title Match if you're not in town. But if you are in town, you can still get tickets through Silicon or through Joe and FSC. Until next time, everybody.
See you all someday.
Yep, happy wrestling.